Real quick before we get started, I guess, in case you haven't heard, on Monday, September 30th, after receiving threats of violence against them, the Rules Committee for Commander has handed the reins of Commander over to Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah, we recorded this podcast the Friday before the announcement, so in this episode, we talk about the Rules Committee as if they still exist, but this is kind of a huge announcement, and we didn't want to go this episode without saying anything. We'll talk maybe a little bit more about it next week episode, but we just want to kind of give our first thoughts here.
And we kind of want to give this a little bit of time to kind of flesh itself out and not just go into a bunch of speculation right away.
It's kind of horrifying that it had to come to this, but it had to happen. And I think it's going to overall, I do think it'll be a net positive.
We are going to be talking about in an upcoming podcast next week then about all the things that have come out since the initial announcement, such as the Q&A that Aaron Forsyth and Gavin Verhey did.
After watching that, I felt a lot better about it, I think.
Exactly. So again, I want to give this a little bit more time because I think we'll have a lot more just time to sit with it and kind of know what our thoughts are. We'll be able to flesh things out a little bit more, but
it's a little bit like your favorite punk band just got signed to a major record label. So there's some fears around what could happen when a business has control, but I mean, they know that the best way to make money is to make Magic players happy. So I don't think there's anything, you know, evil going on from Wizards' point of view or anything.
Exactly. So with that being said, let's get into this episode and
talk more about bans. This podcast was brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAY2WIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
I'm Dylan, and this week we're talking about the bans, round two. There were bans in Commander recently, Mana Crypt, Jewel Lotus, Dockside, and Nadu. They're gone for the format. We talked about them last week. It's been a week. We have evolved some of our opinions. We have some stuff that we forgot to say. We're going to talk about the effects of the bans in CEDH, in Commander, not just CEDH.
Because there's a lot of other cards that we now think might be better or worse based on our experiences with the new format so far.
Yeah, we played a couple games. I'm really excited to talk about how our games went and how we think the future will go. I also really quick want to mention, there's been a lot of hot talk on the internet about all these bans. We got to remember this is a card game, okay? We can have civil conversations. The moment it gets past that and becomes threats on people, you're taking it way too fucking far. So take a break. If you're getting that emotionally invested into it, this is a game. We're having fun. We're having a conversation. The cards got banned. That sucks for a lot of people's investments. That sucks for a lot of people's money. I get that.
Rules changed.
It is what it is. That's the new format. That's what it is now. You got to get over. Making threats on people is obviously a bitch move. Don't do that. We're going to move past that and talk about the positives of CEDH going forward because I'm super excited about the format.
Me too. I've been more jazzed for CEDH than I have it in months.
What do you think we're going to call the era when we got to play with Dockside Extortionist? Because I know a couple of people called it like the Clone Wars. Everyone was playing so many clones in their decks
that's
because
funny.
Of Dockside.
That's kind of fun. Yeah, like
but
a
I feel
pop
like
culture reference.
How we used to talk about like, oh, remember Flash, how terrible it was? People are going to look back fondly on Dockside and Mana Crypt. It was a super fun time, but I'm with you. I'm excited to look towards the future.
Me too. I think they're going to call it the Dockside era because
definitely.
We've always had Mana Crypt.
Yeah, that
and
makes
Jewel
sense.
Lotus was printed in the middle of Dockside era, I would argue.
Yes, yeah. I think probably it'll be defined by Dockside Extortionist because that's the card that's going to make the format shift the most, I think.
I think so too because I think that the I don't know. I do think that Jeweled Lotus actually does change a couple of things because talking about things that become better in the format, I guess let's start there.
The things that we missed from last week.
Yeah. I do think that 3 and 4 color pip commanders get a lot better in this new format because not only are most decks going to be slowing down, but now like you don't have this reason to not be playing the deck because Jeweled Lotus isn't in it.
They don't lose quite as much as everyone else does. Like we're probably going to talk about it. I hate to spoil this, but your new deck Omnath, which is awesome. Omnath didn't really like, yes, Mana Crypt was good for other stuff in the deck, but Omnath didn't use the Mana Crypt.
It doesn't really help you get Omnath, and Omnath has so many ways with like fetch lands.
Jeweled Lotus.
To like easily be able to, what about Jeweled Lotus?
Sorry, I shouldn't have said it right in the middle. you ever see the guys who interrogate people, like the cops, and in the middle of their interrogation, they go like this to see if like the liars will like be able to keep track of their lie? That's what I did.
I haven't seen that. That's so funny.
Sorry. If you can remember where you were, continue on. I was just saying that Omnath doesn't need Jeweled Lotus. That's
it doesn't need Jeweled Lotus. And like it kind of helps you get him out, but like so does it's basically just a Lotus Petal, but only for your commander in the deck. And Omnath already has ways where once you have Omnath out, with your fetch land, you go find your dual land, and then all of a sudden you get four mana off of Omnath right away. Like, you don't really need Mana Crypt at that point. You have other ways that you can generate a ton of mana.
Yeah, and it gets to play Food Chain.
Exactly! That's kind of what made me want to play this deck right now. This is a deck that I just put together and I'm still tweaking around with a little bit here, but I really like this direction here because I'm always looking to have a Food Chain deck together, and I guess Itali's not technically dead because you still can go like turn one Tinder Wall into Treasonous Ogre, but that's like still so much harder to do now without Mana Crypt and like Jeweled Lotus in the deck.
I don't really think any of these decks are completely killed. Certainly some of them have been taking a huge hit. They can all still exist. It's just for like us as brewers, like they're just less interesting now. There's other things interesting now,
yeah,
right?
Because other things are getting better, I kind of want to try out something else that's now getting a little bit better.
And I think like the Food Chain combo gets a little bit better with Dockside gone. Dockside was one of the big combos. Food Chain was kind of just under that because Dockside took up so much space. And I feel like Food Chain might be a combo that can take up some more of the limelight now?
I think so too. And the other problem is now a lot of the other powerful ways in the format to make infinite mana without playing dead cards are setting up like three card combos because it requires Teferi, Displacer Kitten, and your Soul Ring.
Yeah, that's
or
true.
Or even like in this deck, now because Dockside's not here, you can't just go Dockside and Emile. Now you have to go Emile, Derevi, and Gaia's Cradle to make infinite mana, right? So I kind of don't want to only be relying on that one way to make infinite mana. I want to make sure I have like a way that with two cards, I can just win with my commander.
Do you think we're not back to Dramatic Reversal Isochron Scepter times, are we?
Oh boy. Honestly, we might be. Like, the more that I think we're just flashing back to 2020.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's actually how it's going to play out, but like that's the only place for our minds to go, I feel like. So that's where we're thinking like it might go.
Except this time we have the One Ring and Orcish Bowmaster, and those are like the real deal additions that we've gotten since then that like really have impacted CEDH in a major way, I would say.
Yeah, the One Ring works pretty good with the Dramatic Scepter combo.
I guess we also got like Opposition Agent at the same time that we got Jeweled Lotus.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a couple other cards that get added too since 2020.
Yeah, we've had a ton of new cards that are added to the format.
But it's like 2020 with like the DLC is basically what it's like.
Omnath. What are some other new includes in Omnath that you have made that you think it's that you're liking about the deck?
Well, I am playing both of those win conditions, but I also get to play Intuition.
When you say
Intuition
both of,
lines.
Sorry, you mean...
Ooh, those ones that we talked about between Food Chain and Squee, and then also Derevi, Emile, and Gaia's Cradle.
Okay, so interesting. I have thought about this. One of the reasons why I have kind of put Sisse off to the side is because I don't know if I still want to play Emile with that combo if there's no Dockside to pair with it. You say, who cares? You say still yes.
So I don't care because that combo wins with my commander still. I guess yours does too, but like that combo, I can still make infinite green with Cradle and then use that infinite green to blink Derevi and then untap the rest of my lands to be able to cast Omnath
draw
and blink
is
infinitely.
Omnath's draw is on an ETB, right?
That's right. So I don't even have to cast him infinitely. I just have to blink him infinitely with Emile then to draw the rest of my deck.
And when he comes back with Emile, does his like land count thing reset?
Yeah, because it's a new instant. It's like Nadu. Like when you would clone Nadu and make a new instance of Nadu.
Yeah.
All of those abilities have a new instance.
So you have like, if you have a way to get a couple extra lands and if you're able to gain the life, make the mana, use the mana to have Emile, blink your Omnath will draw you a new card, and if you're able to get another land in a fetch in or something like that, you can gain life and make four mana again, basically.
Yeah, the first time that a land enters, you gain four life. The second time is when you make one of each mana that he costs.
I think I like that more in Sisse then, because then Emile still does something extra with your commander.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I don't think that's that. It's a little bit more clunky because you can't just go off with Dockside. But again, that's why I do like adding Food Chain in here too.
And then you have the Intuition with Breachline stuff.
Yeah, and Intuition can also find you Food Chain, which is also really nice because it finds you like Food Chain, Eternal Witness, and Savine's Reclamation if you already have Squee.
No Noxious Revival at the time of recording?
I don't have Noxious Revival at the time of recording. But again, like I can even get Savine's Reclamation, Squee, and Food Chain as a pile, and that can still be a way way to get food chain if I don't have enough cards in my graveyard to go off with like a breach line.
Yeah, I like that. Okay.
Because sometimes intuition sits in your like opening hand and you go, well, nothing's in my graveyard. So like, yeah. I'm not actually going to be able to like LED and go through like brain freeze loops.
Are you afraid of Dranith Magistrate at all? That would be like the main thing I would be thinking about with this deck is that not only does Dranith stop your four mana commander, but it also stops your Underworld Breach line and your food chain line.
Yeah, I guess that's why I do like still having the Emil way to go, because I can just like Finale of Devastation really big too. So I guess that's not perfect, and that doesn't really give me a way to draw like every single card in my deck.
What's your removal looking like? A Lightning Bolt?
I do have Lightning Bolt, so I do have a way that I could also Eternal Witness Lightning Bolt and deal damage to everyone that way too. I put Mindbreak Trap in this deck because I didn't know if I wanted it when I put my other CEDH deck together before this one for the new meta.
Yeah.
But I think I do want Mindbreak Trap because I think that we're still going to be casting a ton of spells all at once. And even though the format slows down, that doesn't mean that ad nauseum is not a thing anymore.
Right. Yeah. And although it's kind of interesting because I've seen a lot of that online, like the format slows down. And I don't know exactly if that's going to be the effect of what happens. I think what's going to happen is a lot of decks will slow down. A lot of commander decks will slow down. The decks that really needed the extra push of huge boosts of mana from Jewel Lotus, Mana Crypt, and Dockside, those decks will slow down. But the really fast decks that have 50 cards in their deck that all make 2 to 3 mana, they don't lose quite as much from this because all of the cards kind of do something similar to what Mana Crypt, Dockside, and Jewel Lotus do. So decks like Rog'Sai, I don't think Rog'Sai actually gets much slower. It was so funny. The very first game that I played after these bans, I played Rog'Sai, and I won seat 1, turn 1 immediately with like a Jessica's Will. It was like an incredible win.
That's so perfect.
I also lost them 3 games in a row. I was still able to present turn 2 wins, but my opponents had counter magic and interaction. They were able to stop me all those times. Although I do think a lot of commanders will slow down, I don't know if like the format will slow down. I'm not sold on that yet. I think the fast decks just don't lose as much. So the decks that will continue to win are just the fast decks now.
Well, I think what really happened is that I'm thinking now, and again, this is like 5 days after the ban came up. So
we're recording this the day that our last podcast came out.
Exactly.
For reference.
Yeah. So where I'm at, I'm thinking that we're kind of pulling a Moses with the format, and it's really accentuating what it was before, where you would get down your Rhystic Study on turn 2, and you could lose the game if you didn't have free counter magic to a fast deck, right?
Yeah.
That's still going to happen. But now, like, you can still get down your Rhystic Study on turn 2 or on turn 1 and lose the game, like, immediately after. But, like, it's either you're doing it, like, still on turn 1 like that or on turn 2, or, like, you're losing the game way past like turn 5 or turn 6, as opposed to like more games ending on turn 3 and turn 4.
So you think this is going to stop some of the mid-range decks most of all?
If anything, I think it's going to push us later into the game.
Okay.
So that, yeah, it's the mid-range decks are going to have a harder time finding windows in the middle of a game.
I mean, it sure does seem like the best way to beat a Rog'Sai is a Deafening Silence. Like, that's an enchantment that restricts the amount of non-creatures I can cast. Now, especially without Thoracle, that feels extra hard. Because there was a world before where I could be like, okay, there's a Deafening Silence, but I can still cast Dockside. My one non-creature is this Tainted Pact, and then Thassa's Oracle. And I can still, like, there's a world I can still set that up. But now, without the Dockside, that becomes a little bit more tricky to set up the blue-blue and the black when you have a Deafening Silence. To me, it does feel like the Rule of Law effects, I wonder if they'll see more of a comeback. I wonder if, because of the threat of stuff like Rog'Sai and other fast decks, I think Diada is another fast deck that might get a little bit better now because it didn't need Mana Crypt and Jewel Lotus quite as much. I wonder if those type of decks will start winning more tournaments now?
Yeah, I could definitely see that. The only other card I want to point out from Omnath real quick is Crop Rotation, because this is like kind of a nuts Crop Rotation deck.
What are your targets?
The main ones are Gaia's Cradle. I do play Emergent Zone as my main way to win at instant speed now. I put Urza Saga in the deck. I feel like right now in the format, I kind of want to find Soaring a lot more often.
Sure, yeah.
I do play Teferi Kitten in the deck too, so I want to make sure that I have like rocks at all times that will be able to make a mana of any color if I need to, potentially as well.
Okay, yeah, you have more two mana rocks than you might normally have, right?
That I do too, yeah. I have 5 2-mana rocks in the deck right now, and that's, I think, more than what I was playing before. And I'm also on Talon Gates of Madara too.
I like that one.
I think that seems really good. I like it as protection, and it can also not only like interact with something, but also make me 4 mana for my Finale of Devastation to go get Emil.
Oh, sure. You can also put it into play for 4 mana. So you can pseudo ramp a land into play once you make the 4 mana with your Omnath, right?
I can fix my mana too that way because it's 4 generic mana just to put it into play. If that's my second land, Omnath triggers, makes me 4 mana.
There you go. Yeah, you can turn your Soul Ring. Yes, that's true. With it in your hand, you can turn your colorless mana into extra Omnath mana. That makes sense.
That's
like that.
That's pretty cool. Okay.
There's some stuff here that's probably going to make your brain feel a little bit large.
Yeah, definitely. So I do. I've been thinking about this deck a lot, and I'm really excited to try it out.
Last time we were talking about Timna Thrasios.
Yes.
You're taking it apart.
Well, I took it apart to take the real cards from the deck and put them into Omnath.
Okay.
But I think I do want to fill up the rest of that deck with proxies, though.
How did your first few games in the format with that deck go?
Medium. Very medium. Yeah. I played 2 games with it. The first game felt great at first. I was able to get Seedboard Muse down with Thrasios, and I got a turn cycle with it. But the table had too much interaction and was able to get rid of it pretty handily.
Okay.
And I was able to like present win conditions, but it was way later into the game after a lot of other players had drawn a bunch of cards. I wasn't really able to get there. Game 2 went even worse because I kept a hand that was Imperial Seal for Mystic Remora.
I was in this game.
You were in this game, yeah. And I wanted to turn 2 Mystic Remora. And I
fought you pretty hard over
you
this.
You had all of the interaction in the world for it.
I had 2 pieces of interaction because you had Swansong backup too.
Which I didn't even want to use. I was contemplating not even using, but I was looking at my hand going like, I need more cards. And if you wanted Fish to not resolve so bad, I needed to make sure that it resolved to help stop you.
Yeah, in my hand, I remember I had Beseech the Mirror as well as Born Upon the Wind. So I had a way to get Necropotence, Born Upon the Wind, and the mana to do it on my turn. So I was like, I could use my Force of Will to protect what I have, but if I'm going to feed your fish so fucking much with my line just to make that happen. So like I felt like I just like had to counter the fish there. And my line, you end up having, I think, Force of Negation for my shit.
But then it still didn't resolve, though.
I was able to counter your things. Your fish didn't end up resolving because I had a fish at the time, and I wanted to make sure that my fish was the one that stayed. But then by the time it got to my turn, you had Force of Negation for me, which you couldn't use to protect your own thing.
Yeah, because I couldn't use it to protect it, but I was still able to stop you. I see, yeah.
And I hilariously had Mindbreak Trap in my hand, so later when someone else tried to win, I had Mindbreak Trap. So yeah, like both had counter spells that couldn't actually protect their own wins. So I was thinking like, maybe I don't want to be playing Mindbreak Trap.
Maybe
that
you don't
right.
need
I don't
Mindbreak. I guess Mindbreak Trap is really good when a lot of other people have like tried to stop you and you go, haha, here's my silence.
I think that was a small situation that's not going to come up much. It just happened to be that game. But yeah, I felt like I needed to fight hard over your Mystic Remora.
But no, Thrasios Timna definitely feels good. Like there were a lot of cards I was really excited to sleeve up for that deck, like Culling Ritual.
Yeah.
Really excited to play that card. Really excited to try out like the Swift Reconfiguration, Devoted Druid, and Machine Gods Effigy combo too.
I think those are good ones. I like that.
Especially with Thrasios at your helm. I've been hearing a lot of rumblings that like Thrasios Vile Smasher might be a little bit better too, but I really don't know what that deck does.
Yeah.
What do? You had 4 years to figure out what you did, and you still don't do anything.
I feel like the same could be said about the Timna Thrasios decks, though.
I guess, yeah. But like Thrasios Timna could always do everything and still be good.
Yeah, that's
Vile
fair.
Smasher has always not been good.
I think that, yeah, I feel like since Curiosity was too slow for the format, the deck has been not so great. But yeah. Maybe now, I don't know. Maybe now.
What else is better?
Diada Rog'Sai, we spoke about those a little bit.
We did talk about like 3 and 4 color pip commanders, stuff like Kess, that kind of stuff too, yeah.
Although I don't think Kess can ever really be better in the shadow of Rog'Sai. I feel like all the Grixis decks kind of have to compete with that a little bit.
You can be better. You can still be bad, but you can be better.
I don't know about bad. What do you mean?
Well, not that it's bad, but you can like still improve in the meta.
Kess certainly does improve.
But it's not going to be the best Grixis deck.
I don't think it's going to show up in tournaments. I don't think it's going to be the best thing that you can do in Grixis.
No, but it's something you could do.
Yeah.
Sticker Goblin.
Sticker Goblin. Does Sticker Goblin get a little better?
Sticker Goblin might get a little bit better. Like, it works with some of the things that previously worked with Dockside. Like, it does work with a meal.
It could. I think there's a world where it doesn't because of the random situation, but I think most of your stickers have one that's at least 4, hopefully.
I think it's always making you either 4 to 6 mana.
I think sometimes it can make 3.
I don't know stickers well enough to dispute that, But I think you can set your sticker piles up so that it can only net you mana.
If that's the situation and you can have it so it makes a minimum of four, then I think it's playable with Emil.
I would think so too. And it also works with Cloudstone Curio as well, which is also another way that Dockside decks that didn't have a lot of colors in them could also go off.
Yeah, the only bad thing about it is you have to play stickers, which sucks.
Which also might not be in the format for a long time. Did they say something about stickers in the recent update? I was so caught up with the four other cards. No, I didn't even look
they
to
said
see.
Something about silver border stuff. I thought they said, like, no, we're not allowed. We're not going to change anything about that. Should we check?
Let's check.
We have the power.
No, they didn't say anything about it.
Okay, yeah. Sticker Goblin, though, gets better.
Yeah, I think Sticker Goblin, or at least has a reason to see more play. Crystal Vein, maybe too?
Maybe Crystal Vein. I put Crystal Vein in my Rock'sai list. I also put Dramatic Reversal in my Rock'sai list, which I think that was wrong when I saw it played at the few games that I did. I didn't really like Dramatic Reversal. There's just too many rituals. I think I want, honestly, like Rain of Filth.
I think that might help fuel your Underworld Breach. The problem with Dramatic Reversal, even like going back to ISO, Rev,
yeah,
is that Mana Crypt was like a huge reason to do that. And now that you don't have that, like that's just one less huge boost that you have.
Yeah, exactly. But I think Crystal Vein, just the extra boost of mana, I think certain decks will be able to use that. I'm still playing Kona. I'm still playing that card in Kona. I think I'm going to keep it in Rock'sai for now. So far, I haven't really been able to use it yet, but I think it'll come up.
I think because you're looking to play more lands in this absence of extra fast mana, I think that that means that stuff like Crystal Vein is going to want to see a little bit more play. It does help give you that extra push,
yeah,
in like the same way that City of Traders does, but a little bit not as good.
Yeah, exactly. And it also, like, the feeding the Underworld Breach thing is, like, it's not going to come up a ton, but sometimes it will. The fact that it's just, like, an extra card in your Breach, yeah, to help you get through the lines a little bit quicker will be helpful sometimes.
But I can see why we want to go back to Reign of Filth, because, like, Reign of Filth is, like, a 2020 card.
Yes, yeah. And it just being, like, a basically a Rite of Flame, a one black to sack two lands to make black and put two cards in your graveyard, that's fine. If you're winning the game, it doesn't matter. Just an extra Rite of Flame is just really good.
And it's a really important color that it's making.
It's nice that it's a ritual that actually gets better and better the longer the game goes. There are games where Rock'sai will have to stick an early Rhystic Study and just win later on instead. And in games like that, where you're drawing a bunch of cards, hitting all your land drops, Reign of Filth suddenly gets really good once you get to turn five and it makes five mana, that's insane.
Yeah.
So that's going to come up too. So I've been really looking at Reign of Filth a lot.
Yeah, I think that card's going to go up in stocks.
It sounds metal as fuck. The name is the coolest thing.
Reign of Filth?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's so fucking cool.
So awesome.
Mana Vault?
Mana Vault. Mana Vault is interesting because it's not really like a Mana Crypt replacement.
No, it's a ritual.
It's a ritual, yeah, right? So I think that we're relying on rituals more, so I think that's why it's a little bit better, but I don't want to mistake it as a Mana Crypt replacement.
But I still think just as a replacement for more mana, I think it's just going to see more play. Anything that makes mana, I think is going to see a little bit more play now.
I think so too. Speaking of mana, Blood Moon and Magus of the Moon.
Yeah, we talked so long about how those cards were kind of unplayable because Dockside just kind of solved the issue right away. I don't know. Now they get a little bit better. If you're leaning into the Rule of Law stuff, maybe you lean into Blood Moon too?
Especially because I think a lot of decks are moving off of red.
Yeah.
Which is also funny because there were only four good red cards to begin with, and now there's three.
Like, three.
That's not a dramatic enough of a reason for me to think that.
It's minus 25%.
I guess,
that's a big chunk. That's like if blue lost 15 cards or something.
I guess, but like, I feel like that's a reason to cut Ragavan from a lot of your decks though,
oh,
too, right?
Really?
So I feel like you would go down. Like,
why do you cut on Ragavan? I feel like if you're in red, you would need Ragavan even more now.
If I'm only using red for win conditions.
Maybe
as
you
opposed
cut
to
red,
like,
as a color.
I guess what I mean by if I want to cut Ragavan is because I don't want to have red on turn one. Like, red is a color that I want to make sure that I have later in the game for when my graveyard's fueled up and I want to have my Underworld Breach ready to go.
That's fair.
And without Dockside being something that I can do on turn one to get me six mana and get me, like, back up into the game. Like, I still want to play red, but I want to play, like, Deflecting Swat.
Yeah.
Like, the Pyrokinesis, that's a bad one now because I have to be pretty heavy red for that.
Yeah.
But like, I'm less interested in having red mana on turn one and more interested in having red mana later in the game.
I think, yeah, maybe that makes sense that Ragavan maybe doesn't go in every single red deck kind of for that reason now. Although my gut says that you want to play it more because it's just something else that makes mana. What other cards get a little bit better?
I think Into the Flood Maw gets better.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just really, and that kind of goes for any bounce spell that isn't restricted to just your opponent's things now.
I think for a while, part of bounce spells being so good is not only because they could target a wide variety of things, but oftentimes you would have to be able to fall back on being able to bounce your own Dockside to be a ritual and make you a ton more mana. That's not relevant anymore.
No. So I think this also bumps Cyclonic Rift up too, especially if the format's going to slow down. I want Cyclonic Rift in my deck a lot more now too.
I think Cyclonic Rift, Into the Flood Maw, and Chain of Vapor are still the best bounce spells. I think they've always been the best bounce spells, but I think there's less and less of a reason to play any of the other ones now. Karkin Sakashima, I don't know what you're doing.
Maybe you can still play maybe Snap. Yeah.
But for the most part, I think Snap gets a little bit worse now. I mean, it's still great with Guy's Cradle and Eternal Witness, and Snap is still a fine card. I took it out of Rock'side for Into the Flood Maw. At this point now, I don't care about bouncing my own things. Untapping an Ancient Tomb is fine. I kind of just want to spend less mana right away to be able to get rid of anything that I want. I don't care about the fish. I want to be able to get rid of a Rule of Law.
Exactly.
Like that,
yeah, I don't want to be limited to just creatures.
Exactly. If I know that the weakness of my deck is enchantments, I don't want to put in more things that don't target enchantments right now. I want a little bit extra help there.
At the same time, I think that this also makes bounce spells a little bit worse, though, too.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like at the same time, I want to play Path to Exile over some bounce spells in some decks, maybe.
Maybe. The versatility, I still think, is going to be super important. So
I guess that's true, yeah.
I'm more interested in playing, like, Assassin's Trophy now. Like, I still want a catch-all, but I want the catch-all to kill it dead because, yeah, the bouncing is less relevant now.
Yeah, I feel that. Okay. Also, other win conditions that go with Dockside, like Mayhem Devil, get a little bit worse.
Yeah, Mayhem Devil gets worse because before, I feel like you could just lean on the fact that Mayhem Devil also would do a lot of stuff if it wasn't being used as your win con. Now, it was not going to do nearly as much. It still catches fetch lands, and other things make treasure, Smothering Tithe and Ragavan and stuff like that. But I think Mayhem Devil gets a little bit worse for sure. I've been, I don't know, less and less interested in Blood Pod recently.
Really?
I could go the full-blown stacks method again. As I get older, I don't want to do that. I don't like that play style anymore. I just like much more enjoy. I want to go fast. I want to win quickly. That's been kind of my play style in other formats for a long time. So I'm just right now, at least I kind of want to do. I want to have more action. So Rock'side has kind of been filling that gap for me recently.
Maybe we should just look for more fast decks then.
I think more fast decks. Yeah, that's kind of that's where I'm at right now. It's like, although everyone else thinks the format's slowing down, that's great. I want to go fast. I want
to take advantage of that.
Yeah,
right?
I want to see what decks can win on turn one or turn two. Maybe Kurik. Maybe Kurik is another.
It might still be really good, yeah.
It's a deck that can win very early on turn one or two sometimes.
Still really easy to get out on turn one or turn two because of only needing generic mana to get him out.
The issue that I always compare it to is just Rock'side has the option of protection. It has the option for the turn two wins, but it can also protect the wins.
Why protect when you can win on turn one more frequently?
Yeah, maybe that's true. Maybe just go for the turn one.
I think that's the Kurik philosophy.
Is that the Kurik philosophy? Try to get the turn one?
Yeah, why protect when you can just win quicker?
Kurik has a, without Jewel Lotus and Mana Crypt, that stinks.
Just win the die roll.
Yeah.
Have you thought about that? Have you thought about always winning the die roll?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. The other card I want to talk about, I think it a little bit worse, is Poliwag Prodigy.
Okay.
It hasn't really been around long enough for me to really even know if it's good or not.
I feel like you have been unimpressed with the card so far.
I've seen a lot of games where it's not good, but I think that there are some decks, like, I think it's still going to be pretty decent in Timna Helms, but I think there's going to be still a lot of games where you are going to get it down, you are going to evolve it with Timna and go, yeah, I feel really good, and then you're going to lose to something because you don't have any mana untapped.
Yeah, I think the best home for this one is in partner decks that can evolve it two times. I think if you can get it to be two and it is a Talion, I think now we're talking. I think at one, it just is not going to draw enough cards as consistently. I think I'm with you. Yeah. I spent with less zero drops in the format now, it's drawing less cards than ever before, so I could see that one losing a little bit less power.
Yeah, so I didn't even put that in Omnath. Like, I tried to put in as many two mana card advantage creature engines that I could now. Archivist of Agma's in there, the Fairy Mastermind's in there, but I didn't feel like I wanted this thing because between all players at your table, there's a total of six mana rocks now that they're no longer playing that used to make Poliwag Prodigy a hell of a lot better. So if you're not going to be able to evolve it and have one mana value be something you can consider for that card, I don't think that its value is worth much.
Interesting. You don't care about Orcish Bowmaster anymore. I see there's a Fairy Mastermind.
I'm done worrying about Orcish Bowmaster. I
feel like, fuck it.
Yeah, if that's the only creature now that I have to worry about, then all my removals go into it, and that's just what I'm going to hone in on removing if I need to.
The Drannith Magic too, but yeah, you have Lightning Bolts in your deck. You have removals, just like try to find the removal spells for them. There's certain adjustments that you can make, but you still have to, I think, just play powerful cards and just hope they don't have it.
In this build, like, because I really want to lean into like Eldritch Evolution and Neoform, I need to make sure that I'm also playing like Birds of Paradise and Noble Hierarch instead of just one Mana Dork and Delighted Halfling. So like I need to make sure that I have a couple of other options. So if I'm already giving up to Orcish Bowmaster and saying that I'm not going to build my deck around it.
You just lose some games.
Yeah, I think. Okay. Yeah, exactly. It's not going to come up in every game. Force of Will exists. Mana Draining exists. Like, I'm still going to have answers for it. Swords to Plowshares exist.
I agree. I'm with you. You can't play around it entirely. I'm playing that Kona deck. It's got about 15 creatures, probably, or more that have one toughness. I mean, I just lose to Orcish Bowmaster.
Yeah, there's some stuff you're going to lose to.
Although, I feel like in Kona kind of cares at least about the Bowmaster, because as long as I can get the Kona into play, I don't really need the mana anymore. Kona can help me keep doing it, so it's not the worst.
That's true. Kona's your mana generation. Like, the only way that bites you is if your creature is your tapper.
Oh, yeah, or if they get it before I get the Kona in play, right?
But a lot of times, your creature that taps has two toughness, though.
I think just one of them has one toughness. The rest of them have two or three.
Which is pretty nice. Are there any other commanders that you're thinking are getting a little bit better? Again, by the time that we're recording this, it's only been a few days. So we've only gotten a few games in.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I have a bunch of theories, but nothing that's proven. Just based on anything that's not red, I think, just gets a little bit better because it lost a little less. That's my final main thoughts on what gets better specifically.
Now that you've had a little bit of time to sit with this,
yeah,
how do you feel about these bans in general now that we are like a little bit separated from the hullabaloo? Last time on the podcast, we were right in smack in the middle of it. Even when we recorded narration for this past gameplay, we were still pretty in smack in the middle of it.
I think my final thoughts are, one, from a gameplay perspective, I'm excited. I think it balances the format. It's going to make a lot of the games look closer to each other, not in a negative way, but in like a more consistent way. As in, I think skill is going to matter a lot more now, because relying on huge bursts of mana to get you a win out of nowhere, that's going to be less of a thing. So from a gameplay perspective, I think that's really fun and exciting. It feels like a jarring ban coming from Commander, like coming from the RC, when historically they've banned things very slowly, one at a time over a long period of time. And then to kind of like, what seems to me out of nowhere, ban like three cards in a way that can no other be interpreted as a statement. Like they're trying to specifically slow the format down, which I think is a fine statement to make. It just feels, it felt jarring for sure. Like it just didn't feel, part of what the Commander Rules Committee says is they want Commander to be predictable in a way. They want you to be able to play your decks for a long time. And this is a huge change for that. So for the people that are like upset about their shit changing, that's a bummer. And I get that. Like that does feel jarring. But me personally, I love playing the game. I was never going to sell my Mana Crypt anyway, so I was never going to see the financial value of that. My Docksides were never going, I was never going to sell them anyway. That's just me personally. So for me, it doesn't matter. But I understand where people are coming from when they're upset. That's my final thoughts. I think we should have done Nadu and Dockside first, and we should have said, these other cards are on the red flag list. Watch out. I think that's what they should have done. But they didn't do that, and I don't really fault them for not doing that. I'm not their parents. I don't tell them what to do. This is how they wanted to do it, and my perspective is I'm just going to take that as positively as I can and just still enjoy the game that I love that's Magic. It doesn't change how I feel about it. The amount of fun that I have playing this game is decided by me, no one else. It doesn't matter what the cards are. It's my friends and playing the game.
I can agree with everything that you said, and I can also understand why they kind of swept all four at once, because last time that they did update the ban list was 3 years ago. So I could also say, like, that's a long time to have your deck together is 3 years.
That's true.
Maybe that's because I'm coming from the 60-card formats. Like, I was a long time, a two-digit numbered 60-card player in terms of years. That was dumb, yeah.
Two-digit numbers.
Two-digit in 10 years plus.
10 years plus.
Yes, okay. Is what I was trying. Jesus Christ, Cameron, yeah. I've played 60-card formats for a long time, so I'm used to, even in non-rotating formats, still having things that impact my metagame that I have to adjust to. So maybe that's just because like of where I'm at in my Magic playing career in my lifetime here, but I can see them not wanting to ban two of the cards now and then have to wait 3 more years before they can ban Mana Crypt, and then more people buy it, and then more people buy Jeweled Lotus. And even though they said, hey, we could ban these, that there's powerful fucking cards. People want them in their deck.
Yeah, you're right. And what that also, like, what I'm not saying in my thing is, like, that gives a little bit extra information to those who are hyper-invested. Because those of us who are hyper-invested, we get the warning. But not all Magic players are hyper-invested. They don't see that the Rules Committee has put these cards on a red flag list. Even though the Rules Committee kind of did put some of these cards on a red flag list.
It's been a long time since they were talked about.
Right?
But they were.
They did say Dockside, we are aware of Dockside. Even when they mentioned something about Jewel Lotus
being
very strong.
When Jewel Lotus was printed, they said it will be a card that they have their eye on for years.
Yeah, so it's like, who am I to say that the way they should have done it is one way or another? I don't know their insight or their prerogative or what they're trying to do. I just hate seeing Magic players upset and getting all of your stuff banned. I don't know. That's upsetting.
The reality is, though, you should really only be getting upset about the things that you have control over.
Yes.
And it sucks, but there's five people that are in charge of this format, and you know, you may or may not agree with what they think, but it's like any other game, like in video games where the developers change stuff within the games and you kind of have to deal with it. Your favorite fighting game character might not be as good after the new patch comes out and your infinite combo doesn't work. There, every single form of a changeable game like this has updates that come out to try to make it better. And that's all that this is. We're just trying to make it a little bit better. And just because you personally might not have seen a Mana Crypt or a Dockside in a casual game doesn't mean that a whole section of other people aren't experiencing that on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think overall we kind of agree on final points, but you think this is going to improve the gameplay of Commander and CDH?
Significantly, yeah. Now, did I want these bans? No.
Yeah.
What I would still love to be playing with Mana Crypt and Dockside Extortionist, of fucking course. But I do think that the direction this is going in is healthy for Commander in general. And CEDH just being an extension of EDH, I think this is just a great shakeup for the meta. And it's gotten me really excited about a Commander that I never had excitement about before.
Yeah, that's another thing. We should talk about our opinions on CDH splitting from EDH.
We should talk about that real
every
quick,
time
yeah.
Something like this happens, there is a lot of chatter on the internet about what if CDH just had a separate ban list, had a separate issue. There's always another what if CDH and EDH were separate. This is just my personal opinion on this. I don't think that would work, and here's why. The only reason that CDH exists is because EDH is a format in which pulling your punches slightly in order to have a more thematic, fun experience for the entire table is the essence of the game. That is what Commander is. So as long as there is an option to pull punches, there will be an option to push punches. If you split the ban list up and you make CDH its own format, what you do is you create a new format. You create TEDH. You create whatever you are creating by separating them, and still within EDH will exist the most strong thing that you can do, which will be CDH. It's impossible to split these two things up. They don't separate. They're the two halves of the same coin.
Exactly. You're not solving the problem for anyone except for people who want to be playing cards that you can't play in EDH.
Right.
But again, that's no longer CEDH.
And if you want to play those styles with a CDH-specific ban list, that's great. That can be like a lot of fun, and I'm all for that. But it doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't remove the coins from each other. The CDH is still attached to EDH for as long as EDH exists in a way, like I said, that you are pulling back ever so slightly for a more fun experience.
Exactly. I haven't been this excited to test a deck in years, I'll say.
I gotta find a new deck too, dude. All I've had so far, I've just rehashed the decks that I have with me, and I haven't figured out a new deck that I want to play yet. I gotta figure out something.
I did the opposite. I didn't rehash anything. I just scrapped everything and started fresh, and it feels so good. I got a new format. I got new sleeves. I opened up a new box of sleeves for this too. Everything about this feels just like new.
Good fresh start.
In this form of CEDH. And I feel like I've got a fresh start for this too. So it's given me like a good mental refresh as well. I'm still very unsure where like TEDH is going. Like, I have fun CEDH ideas, but I don't know how well they're going to end up stacking in the meta. Besides like, oh, I know Tim DeThrasios, Kinnan, and Yuriko are going to be great decks to play.
Yeah.
I don't know where Omnath is going to stack up though, in particular after losing Dockside, but like also gaining the Jeweled Lotus problem going away.
I'm also very excited. I'm going to play Rock'Sai. I'm just going to say it right now. Rock'Sai is going to be my new deck of choice. I'm going to try to make the deck as fast as I can. There's been some people on Bolas's Citadel. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I tried that years ago. I don't think that's good. Maybe it's different now. You can play less lands. That never felt good to me. So
you're playing more lands now, though.
Well, I did just put in one extra land, but you're playing less lands now than I was when I was playing Blue Citadel.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I was on 25 or 26 lands when I was playing Blue Citadel.
Oh, okay.
Now the decks are on like 24 or 23 lands, which is still nuts, but I don't think Blue Citadel is it. I think you have enough other good options. I could be very wrong. There's some tournament grinders that are having a ton of success. What the fuck do I know? But I'm very excited to play Rockside because I just want to go fast. I want to win on turn one or turn two. I want to get back to what CDH is for me, which is just like explosive nutso starts. And I almost just want to like prove that it's still possible without Mana Crypt. I like the idea of like the rules committee said, let's slow the format down. And then we go, nope, I'll go faster instead. Like that's fun to me. So I'm pumped for that.
Challenge accepted.
Exactly.
Here we go.
Let's see how fast we can make it instead.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. This is a great time to be in CEDH. It feels like after the flash ban when you're kind of like
breath of fresh air.
Oh yeah. I feel like I was choking on something. It just got lodged and I can actually breathe now.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait. I think it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, me too.
We should play more CDH.
We should play more CDH.
That's what we should do.
What a dumb idea. I can't believe you said that.
What other thing? I feel like we've been texting so much this week. What other shit am I going to think after you leave? Oh, fuck. Why the fuck didn't I say this?
We texted about splitting. I'm still setting up.
I'm on my way.
Hair strung Koto. What was that about?
I was so tired looking up Kona cards.
You sent me the worst one.
I did. I sent you the worst. Just to see what you would react to, what you would say.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't think we have much else to say.
Thanks so much for watching. If you'd like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Funko K, Sparky B, Insomnia, SC Phillip, Old and Grumpy, Gecko 21, Caleb Ritchie, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Mark Silverlow, Stormageddon, Luke Cook, Demon of Raspberries, Peter Stewart, Cornel Wild, Uncle Butts, Nick Foles, Go to Nine, Kawaja, A. Hamid, Lauren Kynell, and Baby G Bus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Huge shout out to Dragon Shield for supporting the show. Use our affiliate link down below and code PlayToWin5 for 5% off your order.
Follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram for more content.
Thank you so much for watching.
See you next time.
Roy Turner, Orjan, Mystic Muffin Man, Jacob Bauer, Tyler Watson, Zachary Coulson, Tyler H., Malcraft, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Hobo Ghost, Justin, Man Solo, Jacob Depp, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson. Yeah, everything else I want to say is going to sound like a dunk on someone, so here we go.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.